The story of Mary's visit to her cousin Elizabeth. So listen with me for the word of God. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of our God. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on this lowly servant. From this day forward, all generations shall call me blessed. You, O God, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. You have mercy on those who fear you in every generation. You have shown the strength of your arm and have scattered the weak, scattered the proud in their conceit. You have cast down the mighty from their thrones and have lifted up the lowly. You have filled the hungry with good things, and the rich you have sent away empty. You have come to the help of your servant Israel, for you have remembered your promise of mercy, the promise you made to our ancestors, to Abraham and Sarah and their children forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O God, may the word of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On the second Sunday of Advent, Pastor Bill read to us from Luke chapter 3 about John the Baptist saying to the Pharisees that God could create children of Israel out of the stones that were lying on the shore of the Jordan River. And that's true. A God of unlimited creative power, a God who is capable of creating a universe, can do anything God wishes. But, so it would seem that this God, when it came time to bring about a Messiah, to send a Savior, would have a whole bunch of options. God could have done a sequel of that first creative act, breathing life into a mud. God could have selected and changed a person in the same way that the Apostle Paul was changed, smiting him with the Holy Spirit so powerfully that he's knocked off his donkey and rendered blind. That transformation from being a heartless Pharisee to being a passionate follower of Christ. But if God's plan was to send a Savior who was fully human, whose life was in every way a normal human life, there was no list of options, only one possibility. And for that to happen, God needed the help of a woman. Now, when's the last time you ever heard a preacher say that God needed help? But this was the case. We humans, we are born, every one of us. We all have mothers who brought us into the world after 9 months or so of pregnancy. Only a woman can do that. And so God, at the right time, sent Gabriel to talk to Mary a young woman who lived in Nazareth, a small town in northern Israel. Now, Gabriel greeted her in a friendly way. He said, "Hello, Mary." That translated later, in many years later, into the Latin as Ave Maria. Hello, Mary. But because Gabriel is an archangel, one of the inner circle of God's heavenly companions, Mary's natural reaction to that greeting was terror. But Gabriel talked to her in a quite reassuring and pleasant way, and Mary eventually stopped trembling, and she figured out what was happening, and she agreed to Gabriel's proposal. But this project of becoming the mother of Jesus the Savior was really a very complicated project in all kinds of ways. What was her family going to say? What was Joseph going to say? Was she strong enough to have a healthy baby? Could she provide a good home for her son? What would it be like to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah, the king who sat on David's throne? In spite of all these very real, powerful issues, Mary said, "Let it be with me according to your word." And so it is right for us to honor Mary for her willing response to God's request for her cooperation. It is right for us to honor her for her strength of character to face the consequences of this unusual pregnancy. It is right for us to honor her for her courage to deal with the challenges of being a mother. But most of all, it is right for us to honor her for all the ways that she loved Jesus as a baby, as a growing boy, and as an amazing man. Now, when I say this, can you hear that distant rumbling sound of my Protestant ancestors spinning in their graves? I can hear it. I'm standing in the pulpit of a Presbyterian church advocating that we honor Mary. The Protestant attitude toward Mary through all the centuries since the Protestant Reformation is a classic illustration of that old saying of throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I don't think it's unkind or unfair for me to say that back in the days of Calvin and Luther and the other reformers, there were elements of the Roman Catholic veneration of Mary which just weren't right. There were some doctrines that were taught and some practices that were promoted which were really more about enriching the clergy and the church hierarchy than they were about honoring the mother of Jesus. And so the Protestant reformers universally said no to the whole business of honoring Mary. And out the window went Mary with that dirty bathwater. It was the most recent issue of the National Geographic magazine which led me in the direction of preaching this sermon. Mary is on the cover of that magazine. And the author describes Mary as the most powerful woman in the world. The author writes about all the shrines around the world where Mary is worshipped and where people gather by the thousands to pray for her. There are special days when in all kinds of places people come to honor Mary. If you have a chance, I encourage you to read that article. Get your hands on that magazine. It's about a part of the life of the worldwide church which I, and I suspect you, really didn't know very much about. And it was that article that got me thinking that today, just a couple of days after we have celebrated the birth of Jesus, would be a good time to focus our attention on Mary and to honor her for her unique and powerful role in the life of Jesus. I have invited two gifted people from our congregation to share with me in this service in which we honor Mary. Lynn Tarowski is a student of theater performance at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, and she'll share with us a monologue this morning. The words, the thoughts of Mary that she shares with us were created by her and by her two friends from the theater performance department there, Amy Almond and Nolan Sullivan, and also with the help of our own Ruth Woodruff. And after the monologue, Ruth is going to sing for us Schubert's Ave Maria. It is a pleasure for me to invite up to the chancel of the church this morning, Lynn Turovsky.
There's nothing that changes life more than introducing new life to it. There's nothing more powerful, nothing more inevitable. It's nature. It's the nature of the world around us. It's the nature that we are a part of, the nature and the life that joins us all together. You know, it's difficult to describe what it's like to be pregnant, to be carrying a life that feels like every part of you, every bit of love, and yet knowing at the same time feeling that this life is something entirely new. It's fantastic. It's terrifying. It's being in a constant state of change. And so, the best way I can describe this is through something familiar to all of us, nature. When I was a little girl, I started off as a seed full of possibility. What direction would my life go? Would I find a nice patch of soil? Would I find someplace sunny and warm? Would I get to grow into something tall and strong, beautiful? Or would the wind take me to a place full of shadows? But then one day, the angel Gabriel came to me and he scooped me up in his strong, tender hands and he said to me, "You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You shall conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus." And he raised me to the sun. Wow. An overwhelming feeling of love and awe, like hugging a wild flame and watching the little sparks dance across your skin. And the sun smiled and filled me with a warmth unlike anything I had ever felt before. And I knew that this was right. And I knew that this was good, that I was in good hands. And Gabriel smiled. And the sun shone across the land, kissing the most distant hills. And Gabriel brought me to a lovely patch of soil, my home. And my cousin Elizabeth, who had been pining for a child, would be keeping me good company. Another life alongside me to help me, to guide me through this new life. And together we grew. She checked the terrain, and she helped me come out of my shell, and she told me not to let the fear of running into rocks keep me from growing into whatever direction I wanted. But together, we grew towards the sun. The day came and we had to travel to the surface of the earth, completely exhausting. But then it happened. The little bundle that was living inside of me came out and became a part of the world. The most beautiful thing I have ever seen. And in that beautiful, blooming moment, I felt blessed, truly blessed, to be given the gift of bringing life into this world. We all bring life into this world. God bless. God bless that soil that gave me warmth and support in such a significant, confusing time for me. My neighbors, my community, those who are unafraid to share their affection, to show their compassion, to share conversation on lonely afternoons, to share blankets, to share recipes while Joseph was out working. God bless Joseph. God bless the love and understanding, the cool calmness, washing away my stress, helping to wash away my fears, replenishing me, my water. And God bless my little sprout, who became something tall and strong and beautiful, always stretching out his branches as far as he could. You know, before I saw the soil, I saw the grass, I saw the trees, I saw the bodies of water, the sun, the flowers. But now I am thankful for them. Each providing something different, each working for and under the same thing, life. God bless.
The beginning of the Ave Maria song is a direct quote from the Archangel Gabriel from the Gospel of Luke 1:28, when he descends from heaven and he appears to Mary, telling her that she has been blessed to give birth to Jesus. Franz Schubert, the composer of the Ave Maria piece that I'm going to sing, wrote in a letter that this was a hymn, an expression of piety that appears to grip every soul and turns it to devotion. I feel that response too. I love to sing this song, not as a petition to Mary, but as a way to recall this very special story. It's about her humility and her trust, her openness, her example as a woman of faith. So when I sing the Ave Maria, I remember the words of the angel to Mary, and I too ponder these things in my heart.
Thank you.
And so with hearts full of gratitude for all of God's blessings in our lives, especially in this season when we see the star in the sky beckoning us, and when the sound of the angel's song remains a memory we have in our minds and hearts every day, let us bring our gifts to God with our morning offering. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you use these, our gifts, use us, all that we have and all that we are, to spread your light in the world, that the day may come ever sooner when all will honor your Son and give you glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Show.